St. Red, My Aim is True by Jordan D. White. Episode 8, Less Than Zero.
Red was not exactly sure what he expected to find when he and Allison crept stealthily towards the lobby of the DINR rechristening center. But what he found was not it. It had been an hour or so drive tracking Father Patrick's van to Rye, New York, just near an amusement park called Playland that Allison said she had gone to a few times before. They could see the Ferris wheel over the leafless treetops surrounding the building. The building itself was unremarkable, looking much like the DINR buildings back at the facility Red had been sainted in. Modern-looking, lots of glass. Red supposed he had expected Father Patrick's people to have taken the facility, or at least part of it, hostage, considering that two of Father Patrick's righteous angels had been impersonating Red and Allison at the time, and that wherever they had gone, they seemed to have taken Allison's parents as well. It seemed like a reasonable guess. Except for the part about coming to the rechristening center in the first place, that bit of information had come from Allison's newfound gift of second sight. They had crept up to the building, Red armed with his newly silenced holy handgun, Allison carrying a backpack full of weapons purloined from the angels, and armed herself with what appeared to be a stun gun or taser they had found within said backpack. They had carefully attempted to keep out of sight and undercover when approaching. All of these things added to their surprise upon finding business as usual within.
"Welcome to the DINR Rechristening Center 003, Your Holiness. Can I help you with anything?"
The woman was wearing a security guard uniform, but the badges all seemed to be more themed towards Christianity than the judicial system. Sure.
"Sir, if you don't mind, we ask that all weapons remain away while in the building."
Sorry. He holstered his gun as Allison zipped the taser back into the bag. Is there anything going on? You know, like dangerous? Criminals? Or, you know, that sort of thing?"
"I'm afraid I don't follow you, Your Holiness. We have many of the godless here. That is our purpose, as you know."
"All right, fine. Then can you tell us where we can find Frank Argento?"
"Of course, sir."
The guard turned up to his computer and typed something.
"Yes, it says here that Francis Argento arrived 1 hour ago at the south entrance with a group of rechristenees and escorted them to holding."
"Like prisoners? Can you tell us how they got there?"
"Anything you wish, Your Holiness."
A moment later, they were on their way. As they walked down the hallway, Red glanced into the offices on either side of them. People seemed to be going about their daily business as if nothing was happening. He began to think that he had, perhaps, overreacted again. Prisoners? Argento. Yeah, Argento must have known. He must have known it wasn't us.
"How? They looked and sounded exactly like us."
"I don't know. Maybe they gave themselves away somehow, saying something stupid or something. Or maybe he could just tell. Just because they sounded like us doesn't mean they acted like us or moved like us."
"But why would he assume it wasn't us? He'd just think we were acting strange."
"I don't know what else it could have been. This way." He pointed as they stepped out of the elevator and down the hall, following the red arrows that read, "Holding," as he'd been told. "Argento's been trained in stuff. He knows about these things. A hell of a lot more than me, anyway." Up ahead, they saw the door to the holding wing. The guard there was approaching them, his hand on his gun.
"Mr. Kane?"
"Yeah. Hi. We're looking for Frank Argento."
"He's attending to some rechristenees right now. The front desk called up and told us you were coming. Please come with me. He will be with you shortly."
The guard turned, slipped a key into the panel on the side of the door, opening it. He ushered them into the wing and followed along behind them until they reached an open door.
"Please wait here."
"Thanks." The room was all white, with linoleum floor and painted concrete block walls. There was a table in the center with four chairs around it, two on each of the longer sides. There was also what appeared to be a one-way mirror on the wall. "Will he be long?"
"I don't know, Your Holiness."
"Well, thanks anyway." Once Allison was in, the guard shut the door behind them. Then he locked the door.
"Hey! Hey! Let us out of here!"
Allison tried the knob, and confirming their predicament, began pounding on the door. "Relax, Allison. I'm sure it's just a security precaution. Think about it. They know they can't keep me in here. I could just whip out my sword and cut through the door at any time. Knowing these guys... the tiny bit that I do, strict protocol sounds a lot like them." He sat down in one of the chairs and slipped off his shoes. They were a half size too small and had been hurting him for some time.
"I don't like being locked up. It makes me nervous."
"All right, so let's talk about something else. What's Playland like?"
"It's fun. There's a pretty cool roller coaster, the Dragon Coaster. I must have been on it 50 times.
Ugh, those things scare the crap out of me.
Oh, great, Goggles. Some hero you're gonna be, scared of roller coaster.
Are you saying that God made a mistake?
I thought you said God was AWOL.
Well, technically it's D-I-N-R that's AWOL. God's more M-I-A. FYI. So what is it you like about this Dragon Coaster?
I don't know. It's not the biggest or the fastest coaster in the world or anything, but it was my first. I know every curve. And there's this one part where you go into the dragon's mouth. That was always my favorite part.
I'm sure the part where you come back out his ass is thrilling as well. Red rose and stood in front of the one-way mirror, cupping his hands over his eyes in an attempt to see through it. He could not make anything out.
Actually, that's what always scared me. The House of Mirrors.
Why is that?
It always scared me, since I was little. My father and I went in, and he let go of my hand, and I couldn't figure out which way to go. I've only been in it once or twice since then, but both times I hated it.
A pretty girl like you? Personally, I could stare at your face for hours.
Red. So why wouldn't you let me use a gun on the way in here?
Red frowned for a moment. Allison, I don't like the fact that I've put you in danger at all. Bringing you here was risky enough. Guns, real guns anyway, they're dangerous. You could kill someone. I don't want to put you in that sort of position.
Huh, you don't think I could handle it?
It's not that, I just... Allison, you mean a lot to me. You're pretty much all I have. And I don't just mean in that my entire life has been erased way. Even before that, you were one of the only things that mattered to me. The only person whose opinion of me mattered.
You're all I have too, Red. Well, you and Chaser. Everything else I ever knew is gone. Just don't go vanishing from existence on me again.
Just as long as you promise not to forget about me and kill yourself.
Deal. Let's stick together from now on.
There's no one I'd rather have with me on the road to martyrdom. Their eyes stayed locked for a moment. Then slowly, Allison leaned down and they kissed. It was approximately 2 seconds into that kiss that they heard the door begin to open.
Sorry I took so long. Getting in here was a son of a bitch.
It was Simon. He was still sporting his Uzi, but he also had the guard's keys in hand, as well as the guard's gun sticking out of his pocket.
Let's get the hell out of here before they notice us.
Red rolled off the table into his feet. Simon!
Why don't you guys take those masks off? You can do your kinky role-playing crap when we get home with the father. Do you have any idea where they're keeping him?
None.
We'd better go find him. Who knows what he's been through. We need to pick him up, and some of our people will rendezvous with us at the release gate, wherever that is.
I have a better idea. Why don't we wait here? And when they send someone around to talk to us, you jump them and make them tell us where he is.
Hey, Scott, that's good thinking. I guess I'll stand here against the wall behind the door.
He closed the door and got into place. Red locked eyes with Allison, then glanced down at the backpack of weapons. So, is his holiness still secure with Joshua?
I don't know. I didn't have time to stop in to tell him. Once all those troops ambushed you two, it was all I could do to follow you. I figured it was my best chance to get to you before it was too late. Have you been okay? Did they hurt you guys much?
We're okay, you know us.
Yeah, put two of you in a room and you'll never get bored.
Allison looked back at Red. She had the taser thing in her hand under the table. Red nodded at her. She turned towards Simon and got ready. Keys began to jingle in the door.
Here we go.
Allison turned wide-eyed to Red. He shook his head and shrugged. As the door swung open, a few things happened. Simon jumped around the side of the door. His Uzi pointed at the two people standing in the archway. Red drew his gun and pointed it at Simon. Allison jumped up from the table, taser in hand, and stood behind Red. It was obvious from their expressions that none of them was expecting to see the man who entered the room first, though two of them saw him quite differently from the other. Red, for his part, saw a blur-faced young man in one of his red suits, being escorted, handcuffed, by Argento. To Simon and Allison, he knew, the boy looked exactly like him.
What the... Get in here!
Red, is that you?
Who else, Frank?
Good question.
Drop the gun, Your Holiness. You might be able to put me down, but not faster than I could shoot off a few rounds.
Frank?
He's right, Red. Put the gun away.
Argento's back was against the wall, his hands up. Red began to slide the gun back into its shoulder holster.
No, throw it on the floor, and you unlock him.
Argento unfastened the handcuffs around Scott's wrists as Red threw his gun to the ground.
Where have you been, Simon?
Scott said, in the same spooky, non-specific voice Red had heard from him earlier. He grabbed Red's gun from the floor. Allison huddled close behind Red. Simon had still not noticed the taser, and she was doing her best to keep it hidden behind Red still.
Take that thing off.
Scott reached up and pulled at his head. As the blur came free, revealing his face, it turned back into the featureless plastic mask it had originally been.
Masking. Of course.
All right, Scott, you cover them while I get the door unlocked.
Red tapped Allison behind him. He looked over at Argento, but he wasn't looking. He tapped his foot a few times, but Frank didn't notice, more intent on watching Simon's progress. As they heard the tumblers fall, Red whispered, "Now." He and Allison leapt forward. Scott fired Red's gun, but the bullet passing harmlessly through both Red and Allison. Red grabbed for his gun as Allison lunged forward with the taser thing. "No!" Red shouted as she connected the tip of the device to the bare skin on Scott's neck. He jerked back hard on the gun, expecting to be zapped with a jolt of electricity. Instead, Scott seemed to stop moving completely. Red felt the air grow a bit colder and noticed Scott's skin quickly grow from normal to incredibly pale and finally even a bit frosty. Red had pulled the gun free of Scott's hand but had left the boy off balance. He wobbled a bit and then fell over backwards. On impact with the floor, Scott shattered. His clothing remained normal, but thousands of shards of hardened human bits spilled out from them. Allison screamed, dropping the device.
Scott!
Red pulled his sword and launched it at Simon's face. The blade flew through him, and the hilt hit him smack in the face, knocking him backwards to the ground. As the blade fell back out of Simon's face and embedded itself into the ground, Simon squeezed his trigger, firing off a few blind rounds. Red threw Allison up to the floor and fired his own gun at Simon's hand, causing the Uzi to fly apart.
Crap!
Simon scurried to his feet, pulling the guard's gun from his pants. He ran out of the door, his footsteps echoing down the hall. Red was about to take off after him when he noticed Argento had been shot. He was bleeding from two bullet wounds, one just below his collarbone, the other in his arm. Frank!
I'll be fine. I don't think he hit anything vital. Go after him.
Hold on. Red grabbed his shoes, the ones Scott had been wearing, from where they lay on the floor. He shook out a few more frozen Scott bits and slipped them on. Then he scooped up and sheathed his sword. Come on, Allison. They ran out towards the doors that led back to the rest of the facility. The guard that had shown them to the room lay on the floor unconscious. His walkie-talkie, however, was yammering off the hook. Allison, grab the walkie-talkie. Get some help for Argento. Go stay with him. I'll be back as soon as I get this bastard.
Red, just be careful.
I will. He ran off down the hall to the right. There was no sign of Simon, but on the wall signs, Red could see blue arrows that read, Release Gate. He followed them. After a moment, an alarm sounded. Red kept moving. Eventually, he arrived at a blue door, above which the blue sign read, Release Gate. On the door itself, a smaller sign had been posted. It read, Release Gate closed until May 4th, 2002. Please make sure that before that date, all outbound christenees are christened for release at our alternate release facilities. Thank you, and God bless. Red attempted to open the door, but it was locked. He looked around. There was another guard desk, which would presumably be manned when the door was being used. Two hallways stretched off away from the door. One of them, the one he had come down, stretched off quite a ways into the building. The other only went a short distance before turning a corner. Since the alarm had started going off, the facility workers had made themselves even scarcer than before. He saw no one, and other than the monotonous wailing of the alarm, he heard nothing. He thought about cutting the door open with his sword and hiding on the other side, but decided against it. If he cut the door open, Simon would be able to tell and most likely would not come through. A few moments later, a group of five or six security men and women appeared in sight at the end of the long hallway. They were heading Red's way. Red waved to them.
Get on the floor!
No, it's the real me! Hurry, guys, they'll be here any second. Simon said they'd be leaving through here.
On the floor, now!
No, guys, look, I'm the real deal. He reached up and started to draw his sword. A shot rang out, hitting the door behind him. Hey, okay, okay! He let the sword slide back into its sheath and out of sight. He put his hands on the back of his head. But it's really me, guys. The other me is dead. He shattered.
Don't move!
A voice yelled out from Red's right. It was Father Patrick, with Kimmy and Simon in tow, just rounding the corner on the shorter hallway. They were all armed with guns, most likely stolen from guards, while Kimmy also had one of those freezing devices. Simon grabbed Red around the waist and put the gun he had stolen from the guard up to his temple. The others all got behind him. One of them, Red could hear, was unlocking the door.
Keep away from us, or His Holiness here loses a big pink vital organ.
The guards formed a line about 15 feet away from them, all guns drawn and pointed directly at them. Red found himself uncertain as to whether they cared about his safety. Red heard the release gate door creak open behind them.
Hold your fire.
That's right. Hold your fire. We're just going to slip out with our little holy friend here, and we'll contact you later on how you can get him back. How's that sound? If we see this door open behind us in the next 5 minutes, you're going to be picking up little frozen chunks of this bastard all along the boardwalk.
Keep back, man.
Simon, let's go.
Just keep your distance.
Kimmy slammed the door shut behind them. Simon jerked Red around to face front and pushed him forward.
You go first.
Easy, easy. I know you're excited to get the father back, so I won't embarrass you by mentioning the second gun I felt in the small of my back. Emphasis on small. A short hallway ended with another door. Red turned the knob and opened it. the other three pushing him through. At first it seemed like they were just in darkness, but another moment revealed that it was actually a mirrored maze with the lights out. Red realized they must be in Playland, which, of course, would not open until summer.
Oh, screw this!
Kimmy held up her gun and started blasting away, shattering mirrors all over the place.
Christ, Kimmy!
We must go. They're not going to wait very long now.
Go!
Simon shouted, giving Red a shove. Red thought he could see the exit straight ahead. He stepped through the broken mirror in front of them and led them straight to it. It's not so hard without the mirrors.
Oh, shut up. I've heard more than enough of your stupidity to last me.
Father Patrick emphasized his point with a kidney punch. Out onto the Playland boardwalk they exited, finding the frog-launching van waiting for them, along with two henchmen who'd been operating it back in Grand Rapids.
Look what we found.
All right, Your Holiness. This may feel a little strange.
Red felt something touch the side of his neck then. All of a sudden, he grew very cold. He found it very difficult to move. He found it difficult to breathe, and then he found it difficult to think. Then he did not find anything at all. Red thought he could smell Allison. He thought perhaps he was still in her bed and that everything since then had been a dream. He wondered if Chaser would really be sleeping on Allison's chest when he opened his eyes. The only thing was, he couldn't open his eyes. He kept trying to lift his eyelids, but it seemed that even a Herculean effort could not free them from their resting places. He heard people moving around him. Finally, slowly, his eyes opened to find Kimmy standing before him, holding the freezing device and smiling mischievously.
Merry Christmas, Red.
Behind her, Father Patrick, Simon, and Joshua looked on. Red tried to reach for his gun, but he could still barely move.
Relax. Thawing out takes a moment. You'll be as good as new in a few months. What do we want? That's simple. We want to usher in a new era of paradise. You know that much. But now we want your help.
Red tried to laugh at them, but he could only manage a wheeze. He hoped that it got across the point.
Why would you help us? Why wouldn't you help us? We are the future. We can take you with us to paradise where anything, and I do mean anything, Your Holiness, can be yours. Besides, what choice do you have? I'm afraid we're the only friends you have right now.
What are you...
What are we talking about? Well, I'm talking about trust here, and where you can place it. I'm talking about the fact that I promise you paradise, and if I do, I promise you all that's in my power to deliver you. I'm talking about the fact that your precious D.I.N.R. couldn't care about you less as a person. I am talking about the facts that you have been too naive to recognize. I am talking about what happened back at the hotel.
What?
You thought Argento had caught on to Scott and Kimmy, didn't you?
What?
It was you. They had a troop of guards waiting in that room to take away you and your little girlfriend. You're just lucky we took you away with us. They've already reprogrammed her as the depressive thing she was before. She doesn't remember a single thing about the incident or about you.
End of episode 8.